many activists that end up beating their head up against the wall because they're determined to, you know, they've got this one person that's asleep, and they're determined to wake this person up, and they are determined that they will be the ones to do it. And some people, unfortunately, just aren't capable of waking up. Sometimes you just have to walk away. And generally speaking, this seems to be the case for everybody. It's the people that you want to wake up the most that don't want to wake up the most, or at least it seems like they're the most incapable of doing so. So at some point, you just have to realize that you might have to just walk away. Doesn't mean that person will never wake up, because you know, there's been times when I've argued with people for years, and they never paid me any attention, thought I was a crazy conspiracy theorist, and then somebody out of the blue says something that just lifts the veil. You know, you plant the seed and somebody else comes along and waters it. But at some point, you see people that try to wake someone else up, and they get into an argument, this long drawn out ordeal. They fight. You lose friendships. You lose relationships. And at some point, you have to realize that you're going to need all your friends, all the friends that you can get. As we are starting to see, there's going to come a time when you're not going to want to be as alienated as you might be. So you have to kind of realize that not everybody, as you said, is going to wake up. And we might just have to move on to somebody who is ready to wake up.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I learned this lesson very poignantly when I was a telemarketer, whereby you start a conversation with somebody and you'll work out if you're a good telemarketer very quickly whether or not this person is actually willing to listen, is actually willing to sell, is actually willing to go the distance or whatever, so you can make some money off them. And I found this phenomenon was very much paralleled by telling people the truth. There's a lot of people who just aren't willing to listen. They aren't willing to buy this product, even though it's good for them, that kind of thing. Not that I'm saying that the truth is a product, although there have been many attempts, successful attempts indeed, to commoditize the truth. I consider myself a great commoditizer of the truth, because I have managed to have all my bills paid. And here's the other point: not just having your bills paid, but having those bills that turn up unexpectedly at surprising times paid as well. Okay, due to the donations and subscriptions and sales of products off the website and things like that. But it's taken me 6 years just to get to that point where I can simply survive without absolute constant fear of the threat of starvation and being kicked out of my house because I can't pay the rent. Okay, and you know, this reminds me of Brandon. I also filmed dance parties back in the day, you know, for some extra cash on the side, and I hadn't filmed one for over a year until a friend of mine, Daryl, who's a Rosicrucian, he wanted me to come and film a dance party gig that he's doing called Bass in the Park. And this chick saw me walking around, you know, with my flashy cameras and my shoulder mount and all this kind of stuff with the GoPro and wireless mics and the whole deal. You know, I'm pretty well tech savvy, because you have to be if you want to expose scumbaggery by yourself, because the mainstream media won't give you a frickin' shot. And she asked me, so how did you do this? How did you get into it? I go, well, you have to do a hell of a lot of filming and a hell of a lot of editing for nothing. You have to live for 6 years in abject poverty where you can't even so much as buy yourself a cup of coffee. You have to have a partner that you can mooch off for that extended period of time. You have to know the organizer for the gig and know that he has no choice. Because nobody else will do that kind of a gig for $75, you know. And that's basically it. You tell people what they actually really have to do in order to get where you are, and they will say, you know what, it's not worth it. You know, and it's just like, you know what, you're right. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it if you want to have just an easy going life and existence where you don't really have to worry or stress or be under fire or under attack or anything like that. It's not worth it if that's what you want to do in life. But if you don't care, that that's the consequence. If you just don't care that you'll get set up, that you'll live a really painful existence, that scumbags will attempt to demonize you at every available opportunity, and this kind of thing, if you don't really care about that, there is nothing that can stop you. You know, you'll actually achieve something. If you want to do nothing with your life, there's nothing that'll stop you from doing that either. It's just a simple choice, and most people choose to do nothing.
Well, what do you think, I'd like your opinion on this, what do you think makes the difference? Why do some people, two-part question, what do you think some people are capable of waking up and going down the rabbit hole and other people don't seem to be? And part B to this question is why do you think some of the people who wake up are capable of doing nothing, essentially just going back to sleep, going back to watch television, play video games all day, while other people are determined to move forward, to pursue any number of activist strategies or opportunities? What do you think makes the difference in those people?
You ever been arrested, Brandon?
No.
You ever been living in abject poverty or something like that and had to basically survive off the wind and the trees?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You ever experienced real hardcore suffering?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You ever have parents that criticize the government or other corrupt institutions in your life?
Somewhat, yeah.
Ever had friends do the same thing? It's a combination of those factors. You need to have a shockingly large amount of trauma. You need to have it's either one or all or a bit, like. That's what I've really kind of broken it down to, is it's trauma, really. Trauma is the thing that actually wakes you up. It isn't information. You need to feel that the world is wrong, and you need to know how it feels and just how wrong it feels before you will actually have any empathy for the people out there waving the banners and what have you that actually want to change things. Do you see what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, and that's what it takes. You need to frickin' suffer. And you need to suffer hard in order to accomplish anything in this movement. Because otherwise, where the heck would your motivation come from?
Well, it's true. That's true, and there are a lot of people, of course, a lot of different backgrounds. But that is certainly something to take into account. That's why a lot of times it's easier to wake people up. Well, a lot of times, no.
Can I stop you there? Because this term, waking people up, I don't even think that's possible. You know, like. When I think about waking up, it seems about disillusionment. Okay, so you know you lose your current grip on reality, and you go, hey, you know, hold on, that's not true. I'm going to find out what is true. And for me, it was listening to talk radio and watching documentaries. I think I must have watched like 160 documentaries inside of 6 months or something. So I had a geometric increase in my knowledge of the world. And that's what woke me up. And nobody forced me to do that. So to say that I could wake somebody else up or anybody can do that, I don't think is actually real in terms of it. Just like, you know, we need to wake up the masses. The masses don't make a difference. Just like trying to wake people up is not actually possible. People have to wake themselves up. And, you know, it's like you said, planting seeds. That's really what matters here. Because I think I might have heard 9/11 was an inside job talk when I was a teenager, just leaving school and about to go to university from a mentor of mine. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Then I went to university and a flatmate of mine showed me a documentary called The Truth and Lies of 9/11 by Michael Rupert. And I was like, And then I started listening to Bill Hicks and how he was talking about the bullies of the world and how how the United States gives people weapons and then invades them. I was like, But it was only once I got arrested and saw the real iron fist of the state brought down upon me for something that never hurt or killed anybody ever in history. You know, selling a bit of weed, and who the hell doesn't do that at university? And to be going to jail for up to 8 years for a first offense for the possession of 13 grams of cannabis. That was what I had to deal with. That was my wake-up call. And I was basically a pseudo-activist after that, you know. Like, I'd had all this trauma, but it still took a couple of years because I was still working and making money and things like that and actually developing myself. You know, I wanted to move on with my life, but then I realized that these people that I was working for didn't give a frack about me, didn't give a frack about the customers. They really didn't care in any way, shape, or form. And I started to get really stressed out. I started, like, when you're making money and you're working with and or for people you fracking hate, who you know for a fact do not give a frack about you, it's really hard to deal with. And, you know, I just couldn't handle it, really, to the point where I can no longer work for anybody ever again. It doesn't matter. Like, my friend tried to hire me to do a bit of door-to-door sales for an insulation company that he was working for. I had a panic attack the night before, okay, going into the office and starting up to earn some money. I can't do it anymore, Brandon. I've had too many bad experiences happen to me over my life to ever go back. And it's a long, arduous process that you can never ask somebody to go through. Because if you told them what the consequences are for living this lifestyle and for doing these things with their life, that most people would reject it. They would never, ever wish to have these kind of experiences. They would never wish to work 11, 12 hours a day producing radio and video in order to get a few hundred hits on each of them and that kind of thing. It's not worth it, okay? I can tell people, you know, if you're getting into this for the money or the fame or the glory or anything, it's just not worth it. If you're doing it because you have no other choice, like me, it doesn't matter whether or not it's worth it. You simply don't have a choice. I can't go back to being a slave in a slave job. I can't do it.